This is the April 3rd, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 481-70072. It's case number 638. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one on the call from the assessor's office, and we do have Agnes Nishitani here on the phone. Agnes, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay, should I do, I could do FaceTime, but okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And just keep in mind that in these trying times, we may be a little later than 30 days, but if we are, you still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state.
All right, thank you.
If you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain the appeal.
All right. Very quickly, too, I want to thank all of you. I do know all three of you because I've been in before for doing this because I know you're volunteering to do this. All right. I'm just going to go through my concerns. I had this written down on the form here. But the number one was just a 25% increase from last year. And in my opinion, that's quite an increase. Then number two, I've been in this place 12 years and have never improved it or remodeled it yet. Case in point is there, I've had leaks, so I've fixed the leaks. But now there was another leak about a year ago that I've been trying to get the people to come in to find out what the cause is. And because there's a problem with the commercial part, we've had changes. Can't get anybody to come in. Even if I paid for it, I can't get anybody to come in. So there's big stain right in my entryway that I can't do anything about. So that isn't very attractive. I wanted to sell it. And not knowing what caused the leak, that is a problem. Number two, I have a one-bedroom unit. All units are considered penthouses, but I believe the best views are from the corner units. I overlook the west side, the west side, and so I have my best view is at night because of the lights, but what little I have of the water view has been obstructed by the high rises right on the waterfront. So they're kind of peekaboo views, and as the waterfront continues, there'll be less and less of any kind of water that I'm going to see from my condo. Then the next concern is that my square footage includes the 1 foot deep French balcony and a small balcony off the bedroom. So that's considered in my square footage. And then it's non-warrantable. I said that every year. And then this is something a little different, is our hallways, they look like they're, well, they've been very damaged because they used to use my floor as the place where all the construction workers would come to the one unit that hadn't been sold. And so they really damaged the carpet. It just looks terrible. And also the walls are very damaged and there's been water damage. But we can't get that replaced, even if all of us wanted to chip in to do that. Because the owner of the condo is now saying he owns the hallway and he doesn't want to fix it, even if we want to. So they're going to court over that. So when you come up to our place, it doesn't look like, that we're as nice as we could be. And I've said this before, so this might be just no reason for me to say this, but my parking spaces are actually taxed twice. I have two parking spaces, and I pay taxes for the two parking spaces, and then they are also included with my condo. So that's the main. Those are the main reasons I feel I'm not that happy with the assessment. So did I make that clear? Are you still there? Hello? Hello?
I can hear you, Agnes. Do we have a board?
Would it be better if I put this on FaceTime?
I don't know if there's a way we can do it. We're just doing it with normal phones.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I can hear you, and I have what you've said recorded. It's still connected, so give me a moment. I'll patch you back in. I'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to hang up, and then I'll call you back and then connect the call again.
Yeah, because I'm hoping. All right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Bye. Hello?
All right, Agnes, this is Michelle. Give me a sec. I'll go get the line the board should be on.
Okay.
All right, do we have everybody back?
I'm back.
Sorry, but we lost you right about the time when you said you had a view to the west, and then everything
was dead. Oh, okay. Well, I have it all written down, so. No, that's okay. This is really, different. So,
I got the full recording, so if you guys, go ahead and finish your hearing, and then if you guys want to listen to what I have later, we can do that as well.
Okay. I'm trying to get, my main part was the 25% increase. So, Let's see. My view is to the west, so I can see the recycling plant, and I can see I have water, from a distance, but the high-rises they've been building have covered much of the water view that I had. But I've said this before, too. I actually don't have the waterfront view. I have a view of the water, but I'm getting less and less of it. Let's see. My square footage includes my narrow French balconies, which are very deep, 1 foot deep, and a small balcony off the bedroom. The condo, all of my are non-warrantable. Our hallway has been very damaged because they built out. There was one unit that was empty for quite a while, and all the other units too that are down below. When anybody, even the commercial spaces, when they were working on those spaces, the people, the builders would come up to our floor. And it damaged the carpet. It's just like there's, you can almost see you can see the underneath part. It just, I've never been in a place where the carpet has been this damaged, and I've been complaining about it. And we can't even replace it. Even if all of us on our floor wanted to replace it, we can't. Because right now, we're going to, that the owner of the building is now claiming, which kind of is ridiculous, that he owns the hallway and he doesn't want anyone or to have it recarpeted. And he said he'll go to court over it. So just to come in to look at the place kind of damages the outside look. And then the parking spaces are taxed twice. I have two of them. I pay taxes on both of them, and then they're also put in my condo. And I think that is it. You got the part about the stain on the ceiling that I can't seem to do anything about. And this has been going on for almost a year now. And that's it.
The units that you had listed as comparable, which one of those is the closest to your unit in terms of?
Well, actually, let's see.
Location or all that.
They are the ones on my floor, and the little one on my floor. The one that they use, let's see, I think this is the one, 4817-0076. That's unit 1123. It's brand new, marble, everything. And, you know, the good thing is that, the other people can't use it as a build-out area now because it's finished. And it's partially furnished too when it was sold.
That one has all been redone, is that what you said?
Well, it was never. I mean, they bought it and then they sold it furnished. It was sold furnished, so it was redone before then. Before they bought it, yeah.
And it is slightly larger than yours, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's also two and a half bedrooms.
Okay. And do you have two bedrooms?
No, I have one bedroom.
You have one? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And even though I've been the only person in this, my place getting kind of worn. I have old, well, if you call 12 years, everything.
Okay, and back to the parking issue, do you have two spaces or one space?
I have two spaces. I have two.
Okay. And is that normal, or do you have what they consider an extra space?
I have an extra space.
Okay.
That was one reason, too, to buy it, because I...
Right.
But I didn't know that I'd be taxed twice on it.
Okay, I don't have any other questions, Dan.
Okay.
No, I don't have any questions.
I think we have the picture.
All right. I do want to thank all of you, though, you know, I for doing this, especially during these times.
Yeah, you're welcome. I know that this is important to everybody. Their taxes have to be paid someday.
Yes, but I do. I said that, but thank you. And you all take care. Thank you. Okay, bye.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Now,
this is a continuation of the April 3rd, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 121-561-074 for case 711. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the line from the assessor's office, but we do have Thomas Stellard on the line for the appellant. Thomas, if you would raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just letting you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have hope.
Dan, are you still there? Thomas, are you still there?
Yeah, Thomas is here.
Okay, Thomas, give me a moment. I'm going to give him a call back.
Okay.
I'm going to drop the call, and I'll call you right back and patch it in.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, do I have Thomas?
Yep.
Okay, one sec. All right, do we have everybody again?
Yes.
Okay, Dan, I'm sorry we lost your introduction, but I think we have Thomas here, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So is it that one person on?
Yes.
Thomas? Okay. And where did I leave off?
I think with the assessor being separate.
Okay, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Please keep in mind that in these trying circumstances, we may be a little later than 30 days, but if we are, you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal, although I will ask you, you do have a fee appraisal?
Yeah.
That's one of the best pieces of evidence that you can have. Now, your fee appraisal says 540 as of June of 19, and but you have on your form 543. Say again?
That was the cost for appraisal.
Hey, yeah, your fee appraisal at market value is 540, and the cost approach was 543,500. So, do you wish to change that?
No, I think I'd like to keep it the same. I just basically the value off of page number three. I just, the numbers were close, and so I just kind of picked the one that was higher.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, do you have anything else to add to it? Because the appraisal is one of the best pieces of evidence that you could possibly have, so
okay.
Other than the purchase or sale of the property. If you want to add to that or anything?
No, I really don't have anything to add. Just like I mentioned, I use page three of the appraisal, so that's where I get all my numbers from. And, you know, I think you guys have the full document, so.
Yep, we have it.
Okay.
Hey. If you appeal next year, be sure and submit that appraisal again, because that'll be good for next year's appeal also.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So thank you for joining us, and we'll go from here.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 3rd, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 235-45000 for case number 715. Our board members present by teleconference today are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Deborah K. Rhodes Hawkins and Robert Keith Hawkins on the line for the appellant. Deborah and Robert, if you would both raise your right hands to be sworn in.
They are raised.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
We do. I do.
I do. Was that two voices?
Yes, two voices. I okay.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And just a word of caution, in these trying times, we may be a little later than 30 days, but regardless, you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. Can you hear us? Because you're really soft.
Yep.
But we caught everything.
We can hear you.
Okay. So we didn't purchase the house, but my brother passed away a year ago, Ronald, who owned the property. He was an alcoholic, and the house, he would not allow anybody in the house. And after he passed, we realized why. You couldn't open the door. It was so filled with bottles and collection of years of garbage. So after he passed, we went in, hired a crew, and they filled dumpster after dumpster, two dumpsters worth of stuff. The cabinets, the refrigerator, the stove, everything had to be taken out. It's an empty shell right now. There's no toilet, there's no fixtures, there's dry rot in the walls. If you're in the bathroom and you're looking out the window, there's the space between the window and the wood. I mean, there's dry rot everywhere. It needs a new roof. It needs siding. I mean, it right now is an empty shell that it has been cleaned out. There's a hole in the ceiling in the entryway. Nobody would live in there right now. It's
uninhabitable.
Yeah, and so so a friend and a crew cleaned it all out. We just looked at it when we were in Washington in March, and I wish we had taken pictures so that you could see an update. I think you have pictures of what it looked like before, well, as they were cleaning it. So I'm going to turn this over to Bob right now, and he can tell you more.
And just between the changeover here, can I check and see the board? We still have you guys on?
Yes.
Okay, we've had a little bit of audio trouble today. I just wanted to make sure.
All right, so has the board seen the pictures that we sent earlier, that I sent earlier?
No.
I think I sent the realtor.
I don't have anything.
I don't have any pictures. Yeah, I don't have any pictures. Well, we were checking with last week, and she said that she'd had, or somebody had them, because I sent them to the main person. Anyway, it's very obvious what kind of shape the house is in. I mean, it was some. And I did have a realtor look at it. For the estate purposes, and I believe he said at that point it was probably worth
80 maybe, I think. I don't know. That was like top end and based on, you know, because he saw it when we were cleaning it out and stuff. So anyway, what more do you want to convince you that it's not worth the $200,000 that you're saying it is?
Well, you put on the form, you put $130,000 for the value. Where did you come up with that number?
I think that was what was on Zillow or something, or maybe no, that's what the tax assessment is, I believe.
Well, the tax value was $200,000. Last year's value was $183,000, and you put a requested value of $130,000.
I'm not sure where I came up with that one, because what I got back from the realtor was 80 in that neighborhood. And I mean, you know, and he was just a general figure.
Well, on the back, then you have the Windermere Real Estate estimated it at $90,000.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. But I'm not. I mean, it would take another. Probably, we had estimates, but between 50 and 100 to make it livable. I mean, you know, to put fixtures back in it, make, you know, siding, roofing, you know, the lot itself.
All the fixtures are taken out, and, you know, the sinks and tubs and everything?
Yeah, they were beyond repair. I mean, seriously, yeah. You can't even imagine how bad it was. I mean, it was.
Do you need pictures right now? Because we could have someone go over and take pictures.
No, everything had to be submitted 21 days in advance.
Oh, well, they were. Like I said, when we talked to the lady earlier, she had them.
Yeah, when we were called to schedule the meeting last week, she the gal said that she had pictures. But there's nothing in there now. It's a shell, and a pretty rotten shell at that.
Yeah. Okay.
We were just so thankful that the people cleaning it out knew that you had to separate the metals from the wood, you know, from all the garbage. Because if I had been in charge of it, it would take me months. But I didn't realize you had to do that in Washington.
Now, is your plan to redo the house or sell it as is, or what's the plan?
Well, we can't really. No, we're going to try and put it back together. I mean, obviously, it's going to take some time. But
have you gotten any bids to do that?
Not really, because that, you know, it just got kind of finished at the end of the summer, towards the end of the summer. We're teachers. We went back to work. We're in Alaska, so, you know, it's a long term. I've got a buddy down there that kind of does stuff like this as kind of a general organizer. Not really, he's not a contractor or anything, but he got, well, just for the kitchen, he got like two or three estimates, and I think it was like, God, $20,000 or something like that, just for the kitchen. The roof, I had an estimate from somebody that the realtor gave me, but it was like a real low ball. I've been told, you know, around fifty to sixty thousand for the roof, and the siding needs to be done because the lot where you connect the roof to the siding wasn't done correctly or became loose or something, so it's, you know, it gets moisture water when it rains down there inside the siding. That's why we got the dry rot in the bathroom. So the garage that's connected there is, you know, it's just, there's nothing in it. It's just a long garage.
Michelle?
Uh-huh.
Can you look on PAX real quick and see if those pictures are there?
I don't have any pictures in packs. I believe I talked to him. I know I called him and got confirmation on the conference call, but I don't know what pictures it would have been, or maybe where I would have been looking. I don't see anything in
okay,
packs
well,
aside from the original.
That will probably be too late anyway for to submit some more pictures. Okay. Any other questions, John or Lisa?
I just want to make a comment that if you appeal next year, send the pictures 21 days, at least 21 days in advance, if not longer. And if you,
you bet. So if we don't agree with the number you come up with, then we appeal and we send pictures.
If you don't agree with our number, then you can appeal to the state. You can submit pictures then. But if you appeal to us next year, because whatever we do is only good for 1 year anyway.
Well, yeah, but I just don't want to be billed this extreme amount when there's nothing there. I could not live in it. You could not live in it. And we were under the impression that you had the pictures. So, interesting.
So, all right, so well, the process is going to be you're going to give a number.
The pictures may be helpful, but what you really need is you need somebody to come in and give you an estimate to bring it back into full usable condition. So if you can get a general contractor to come in and give you some rough estimates of what it is, you know, for all these pieces. I mean, I know you've gotten some ideas from people, but you need to have a formal bid to submit.
Why would you want a bid to see what it takes if you bring it back? Or you subtract that from what you're... Why do you need the bid to bring it back to full service? Are you going to... take that number and subtract it from your number and come up with the value?
Well, that would be the ideal situation. Come in and appraise it, but the appraisal will cost you money also.
Well, I was told that I was told by a lawyer for the estate purposes that a certified realtor to do the same thing. And that's where we got the... Yeah, I did. That's where you got the $90,000.
Well, you didn't submit any documented evidence.
Again, when we got the call, we thought all that stuff was sent in. I bet you guys had it. Evidently, they got lost or whatever. I don't know. But we've got all that already. So, if that's what it takes, I guess we reappeal or whatever the process is and get those. Make sure you've got them.
The information will come with our decision as to how to appeal it to the state. And if you don't like our decision, then you can appeal it to the state. And those are done by teleconference also. So you don't have to worry about, being there, but you have to submit all your documentation with your appeal.
I understand that. But again, like I said, I thought it was done. So, all right. And you said that your guys' decision, this panel's decision, only lasts for a year.
Anything else from you?
Yeah.
No, I don't have any questions.
No, I don't.
Based on what we've got.
I've got a question. So you're saying that your decision only lasts for a year, so we'd have to go through this process again next year?
Unless the assessor decides to take what you provide as evidence and adjust it. They are pretty adamant about that. They have to have everything tied down exactly as to what the value is before they'll make a permanent adjustment.
Oh. Okay, well, so you're saying if the assessor goes along with the number you guys come up with, then it would be a permanent adjustment until it gets reassessed?
Well, he may go along with our this year's value, but he'll come around and value it next year again,
and
he'll ignore what we did this year. I'm just saying, you have a documented evidence by contractor bids on all that stuff to get it back to normal, then that you might take that until such time as the permits are drawn to do all the...
Oh, I see. So if we had the... If he knew what the timeline was, then he'd probably back off until the timeline's done to reassess.
What?
So you're saying that if we get the cost of bringing it back up to, you know, what it should be worth, the assessor would, and we have a timeline, he would probably go along with that timeline and not worry about it until we're done with it.
Yeah, it's highly possible, yes, he would.
All right, so now if we appeal to the state, is that a permanent ban and we don't have to worry about it until whenever or what? Or does it work the same way?
If we appeal to the state will go along with what you provide them, but they're going to require evidence also of what needs to be done and what the timeline is and all that. So it's the same principle, but if the state rules on it, it has more weight with the assessor than when we rule on
it. I see. All right, so at this point, based on what we've got going on, you're going to out a number, and then the assessor is going to use that, and then we're going to get something in the mail that confirms that number, correct?
Yes, we will send that. You'll get a letter from us usually within 30 days after this hearing.
All right then.
Okay,
good enough.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 3rd, 2020 hearings for the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 9200-8204. It's case 733. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Marcus DuPont from Tax Advisors on the line. Marcus, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board, the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And just to give you a word of caution that in these trying times, we will try our best to get the decisions out in 30 days, but in case we don't make the 30 days, you'll still have 30 days from this point of our letter to appeal to the city.
Okay.
So unless there are questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain the appeal on the capacity.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Do you have the evidence in front of you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So this is Todd McClaskey residence. The requested value is a total of $1,468,350. And I will say originally, the uncertified value was $2,204,893, and I believe the certified value is now $1,681,905. So currently, there is about $200,000 difference in value here.
Right.
Okay. This is a waterfront, not waterfront, but down by the Columbia River. It's a 1994-built residence. Our indicator of value is a sales comparison approach. P1-2 shows our sales. We have four sales, all similarly situated near the water, the Columbia River. And these are... So on Rivershore Drive, Image Lane, Topper Drive, and another on Topper Drive, these are all between 2017 and in 2018 are the sales. And In order to best reflect the subject, we have adjusted the two main adjustments. The biggest adjustments are year built. Subject is 1994, and we have adjusted the four comparables accordingly. And then the other largest adjustment is gross living area. Let me actually say on the adjustments we have on time adjustment, sales adjustment, that's 1% per month. And then year built adjustment, 2% a year. And gross living area adjustment of $200 a square foot. So those are the basis for the calculations. We come out on the
$200 a square foot.
$200 a square foot for the living adjustment, yes.
And you said for time adjustment is 1% per month?
Yes. So on that is not, so the, to be clear, year built adjustment is 2% a year, and then the sale date adjustment is 1% per month.
Right.
And so that information comes from, on page P1-4, is a market action report, and that shows that how the sales prices have increased in the area in Southwest Washington, and that is where that comes from. So we're actually taking a more aggressive adjustment, but that is, so P1-4 and P1-5 is support for that.
Right. Okay.
And so the adjustments then lead us to comparable one, $323 a square foot, comparable two, $442 a square foot, comparable three, $189 a square foot, and comparable four, $345 a square foot. And so our estimation is that comparable two is the most comparable, and a final value of $450 a square foot has been determined through this, which in turn results in $1,468.350. And then also, additionally, on page P1-6, and the rest of the packet actually, is a architecturalist assessment of the property. It's a lot of pictures of the condition of the property that have not been improved since this report has been done. And to summarize, the main points of that is the roof needs to be replaced, and the largest issue is that the siding is EIFS siding. Now, this is a kind of a Southern California intended siding, which is meant for warm weather. It's not suited for our wet climate up here, and so it deteriorates and develops cracks, and then you get water behind it, and it's not good for the building. And so essentially that's the biggest part, is the siding needs to be replaced, and that is an expensive undertaking. And so those two hindrances of value definitely support the fact that this residence has some issues, and therefore they do need to be addressed before selling and before a real market sale can happen. So that does influence a lower value on this.
Do you have any estimations of cost to cure those things?
I don't have any dollar figures. I can throw some random numbers out. I don't have numbers for that. I do know a property that we looked at in Portland had an EIFS siding, and it was in the hundreds of thousands. It's an expensive undertaking. I don't want to mislead you with any specific dollar amount, though.
Yeah, no, that's quite a process.
Yeah.
It is.
They have not done anything about this
building report, their architectural report. I see that's from July of 2012. That's eight years ago. They haven't done anything to repair any of that. So is that what they're claiming?
It's a valid question for sure. In my understanding, they've done spot repairs, what areas that they needed to get kind of short-term fixed, but in my understanding, the large cost of doing everything right is more than is able to be spent currently, and therefore that has not been addressed.
Okay.
The house still for sale?
It was not for sale, to my knowledge.
I thought I saw a for sale sign in the picture.
I don't know about a sale or... I don't know about a sale that took place, and I don't actually know about a listing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the picture looks like it has a for sale sign left.
Oh, yeah, I see that. To be honest, I don't know from when that picture was, that cover page. That is a good point, and I don't have a better answer. I just don't know about a sale or if it's for sale.
Okay. I don't have any more questions.
That picture comes right off the assessor's website. So it says that picture is from 2002.
Okay, if that's possible.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it hasn't changed much since then, I can tell you that. Because on the most up-to-date picture that I have is on that report, the 2012, which it looks very much the same, so it doesn't look like anything has been changed since then, actually.
Okay, I have no more questions.
I have no more questions. John?
No, I'm good.
Okay, I think we have it.
Okay.
We'll just keep you, you're doing the next one through, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, we'll keep you on the line. We'll close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 3rd, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 212-539-000, and it's case number 735. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the line from the assessor's office, but we do have Marcus DuPont from Tax Advisors on the line for the appellant. Marcus, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I won't give you the other spiel because you heard it on the last game. So go ahead and tell us about this one. You have a fee appraisal, it's to be like, which is better than even you talking.
Yeah, so I honestly don't have much to say on this one. I will say this is a house. It was constructed recently, I think 2018 it was completed. It's located, the Tri Mountain Golf Course up in Richfield, just across the street from there. So the requested value is $2,200,000 and the assessment, roll is
$2,827,147.
I think it's 2003, isn't it? Say again? The fee appraisal is 2-2. So you're asking for 2-2 now, is that correct?
Yes. So, I will explain that just shortly.
Okay.
So, this is a third-party appraisal. Give me one second here. Sorry, I'm trying to find the name of the person or the company. I don't know where that is on here.
We have one together.
Yes. So I want to
appraisal services.
Gary Bender of Bender Appraisal Services.
Yes, Bender. That's it. Exactly. Thank you. So the main, this is a kind of a large packet, but the main part goes to page P1-2 through P1-5. The primary part of this consists of 7 comparable sales. 2 of those are listings, and so these are chosen. This is kind of a unique house, so it is difficult to find exactly comparable for this, but there have been some adjustments made, and those can be found on the page P1-3, P1-4, and P1-5. On the near the bottom of page P1-3, pretty much the second box, the paragraph, the kind of largest paragraph on this page, summary of sales comparison approach. Within there, it says the after adjustments, the range of value is from a high of $2,929,000 to a low of $1,767,000. Most weight was given to the first 3 sales for the overall similarities to the subject in quality and condition. And then at the bottom of this page, we have indicated value by sales comparison approach, $2,200,000. Cost approach is $2,295,000. And then clear at the bottom of this page, P1-3, is the indicated value of $2,200,000 on 1/1/2019. So the $2,200,000 is the final recommended value, and that's where the $2,200,000 comes from. The cost approach was $2,300,000, but the sales comparison approach yielded $2,200,000.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Nope.
No.
Anything good?
No. I think that's good. The appraisal all on there.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're all done with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
You all have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 3rd, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves properties 148-369-000 and property 147-960-000. It's case numbers 737 and 738. Board members present by teleconference today are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc from Tax Advisors on the line. Greg, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
My right hand is raised.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing that will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just let you know or remind you, if you've been on here before, that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. And please keep in mind, the assessor has the same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Please keep in mind, under these trying circumstances, it may be longer than 30 days that we get our report out, but at any rate, you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state.
Okay.
So, unless you have questions on that, we're doing just the 148-369-000 right now, correct? These two properties are not connected?
Well, they are. I analyzed them together,
okay.
They're adjacent to each other. 369 is a freestanding bank building, and 000 is the inline retail center that curves around the
shape
building.
Okay.
That's the shopping center on the corner. Strip mall.
Yeah. Correct? That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so do you have my packet? Should be about 37 pages long.
Got it. Yes.
Okay.
And we don't need to go through the whole packet. We've gone through your packets before, but just point out the highlights of it and you know, tell us what are the most important parts and then go from there. I've read the whole entire package, and I assume the other board members have, so we're familiar with it. So,
okay.
Go from there.
Yeah.
Maybe go from the bottom line up.
Are there three board members I'm speaking with?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So I'll try to keep this as short and sweet as possible. So this is the Community First Center on 78th Avenue. Consists of a 3,250 square foot freestanding retail bank building that is currently vacant and a 19,291 square feet of inline retail space. It's also, it's got an additional land parcel associated with it that we are not appealing, but the assessed value of that is $15,400. So kind of in our overall analysis, we added up the three and to, you know, put it in the context of other sales and whatnot. So the first, we can, if you want to look at the retail bank building, that's on page P3, and as I indicated, it's vacant. We projected a rent of $19 a square foot, which was similar to the last tenant that had leased the space, which was another bank. They vacated, they built their own bank in the neighborhood, and we're just doing a 5% vacancy, another 5% for other expenses, figuring that's a triple net rent, and then we're doing a 6% cap rate to get to a value of $928,000. However, we've got a rent loss during a lease-up period, which we've estimated at 1 year, plus a TI allowance at $50 a square foot. So that's about $225,000 in reduction. So that brings the value of $704,600, about $217 a square foot. Next, if you want to get the in-place, the next page, page four, that is the inline space. So you've got 19,291 square feet of inline space. It's all occupied. And the story here is that while it's all occupied, it's occupied at below market rent. And going to be tough to overcome that. If you look at the rent, the rents average about $10.82 a square foot. Those are, for the most part, full-service leases. They did have one tenant that was on a triple net lease, and I think he figured out everybody else was on full-service leases and was able to renegotiate himself into a full-service lease position. So we're just taking the in-place rent and with a 5% vacancy and then the expenses on page four, and then we're capping that. We're using a 5.5% cap rate, which is significantly lower than what the sales indicate. And the reason why we've gone with a lower cap rate that we think it's appropriate because it's leased at below market rents, there's less of a risk of you losing a tenant, so you can put a lower cap rate on there. So that indicates a value of $1.7 million. And then you have to deduct that additional land parcel, that's $216,400. So you get that $1,518, or $1,518,400 for indicated value. The next page shows the subject's actual income and expenses and their performance. This is the combined net rental income. You'll note that our projection is highlighted in blue on page 5. That's combined NOI of $172,000. You'll see that historically they've not really come anywhere near that. We also added the 2019 actuals, and you know, part of it, the big reason of that is that vacant bank space. On page P1-6, I did a second scenario analysis, valuation analysis on the inline space. This is to take the county's position and say, okay, we're at below market rent. Let's assume that we're going to rent the building out at $12 a square foot triple net, which is pretty much the indicated rent for the area for this quality. So I've done a 5% vacancy credit loss, some additional 15% for expenses. And then I've used a cap rate of 7.5%. This time we're higher because of the risk that you have associated with trying to lease or move your rents all up to market. If you have a center that's 100% leased at below market rent, and then you want to do substantial rent increases, you're going to lose a bunch of tenants. So here's the risk, or if you have a completely vacant building that you need to now lease up. So there's more risk, higher cap rate at 7.5%. So that brings a value of $2.4 million. However, we've got to deduct that land-only parcel, the $216,000, and then we've got lease-up costs associated with that. So that's $682,000. Of lease up costs, so you got to take off almost $900,000 from that. That brings us down to $1,596,100, which is very similar to the $1,518,400 based on the actual inflation. Page P1-7 is our lease up analysis for with all the spaces that at a market rent. Page P1-8 includes the comparable sales that we relied on for cap rate indication. Most of these sales have superior tenants and are superior quality. You know that the sales, the cap rate range from 5.2% to 7.6%. Average 6.54%. So we're using 5.5% on our actual inflate and our 7.5% on our projected pro forma rent at $12 a square foot. Following pages, we've got the rent roll and the P&L statement, CoStar comparable sales, some demographic information, and if you look to the last page, you can see where the center is located. There's an aerial of the center off of 78th Avenue, Hazeldale. So it's not right on Highway 99, and it's not on the west side of Highway 99 on the other side of I-5, where there's some newer retail that entire rent. If you look on page P1-34, that's the conclusion of our lease comp analysis showing that that's $12.44 triple net rent. And prior to that, we have the lease comp on, I guess, page P29 through page P34. Survey showing that you see that the lease comps are all in the area. If you look on page P1-29, they're all along Hazeldale, along Highway 99. There's one on 78th Street where the subject's located. So they're all right in the neighborhood. Not to argue against those. So, if I have any questions?
One quick question, and it ties to the assessor's response to this. Then, all of your sales that you have there are significantly higher per square foot than your subject property. I mean, they've got it valued at $108 a square foot, and all your upstairs are anywhere from 121 to like 185 a square foot. How do you account for that difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're just impacted by the low rent, and I think that anybody, this is an income producing property, and anybody looking to buy this would be looking at the rent. So it's encumbered with below market leases. You can't flip a switch and say, okay, let's move everybody up to market. So anybody buying this thing would you know, have to look at the risk associated with losing tenants, re-tenanting, and paying turnover costs and costs to the TIs. If you look at the market rent scenario that I did, is we take almost $2.5 million, and you know, it comes out to $111 a square foot. But again, that's with a higher cap rate. But
you don't know what the tenants are in those particular buildings either, is that correct?
Some of the tenants, if we look at, we have some indications of rent, but they're paying, when I look at our sales to average rent, $15 triple net, but the higher rent. Sale 3, that's sewer center, sold at a 5.2 cap rate. Sale 4, that's an inferior quality center, but it's much smaller, only 5,000 square feet. Sale 5.
Well, if you look at those, like at the bottom three, I mean, you got room 5 is $11 and Barrel 6 is $7, and Barrel 7 is $8. Comparable 2 is it?
Yeah, that's like an NOI indication. If you look at the note, Sale 5 that $14 triple net. Don't know what the rent is. We're just projecting based on what the report cap rate is for sale 6. And
okay, I think I understand.
I have a couple of questions for you. On that freestanding bank building,
yeah,
I see that the assessor has offered to lower the value to $626,150. You were asking $795,700.
and that did not get signed and accepted, but their letter on January 23rd offered that value down to $626,150 on that building. So I guess we need to know something about that as to what you want to do. And then the other, just on your application for that strip center, your application shows that you're requesting $571,900, but your appraisal and recap and everything else is $1,518,400. So is that some kind of a typing error, or where are we really going on that?
Well, the original application had flip-flopped the parcel, which I discovered when I went to respond to the assessor's offer. And please disregard what's ever on that original application. And I think the values that we're offering here are more reasonable, or are the correct parcels. Because,
okay.
Yeah, we thought that where the assessed value for $1,866,000, we thought that was the bank building originally. So.
Yeah, because
right, the bottom line that I see is that you're asking that $2,439,000 to be the value in total, and the assessor is offering $2,708,950 after you take off that adjustment for the bank building.
Yeah, and it's true. He is offering a lower value for the bank building, but no reduced value for the it was a take it or leave it offer.
Let me ask you, the assessor quotes that, and I've read this before in the regulations, that the market value is best calculated on the basis of sales of life properties. And then beyond that, then you can use the income approach or cost approach or some other logical approach. But at any rate, how do you refute that in the regulations in terms of that it should be based on sales of comparable properties?
Well, I don't know that the assessors really prepared an exhaustive sales comparison analysis where you look at access and location, quality of building, and quality of tenants. And to me, anybody looking to buy an income producing property is going to value this on an income approach. And they're going to look at the sales comparison as a guide to make sure that they're within parameters of first square foot and cap rate and a NOI per square foot in the bed.
Okay. Anything else from John and Lisa?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I wanted to add the other. There was, the assessor indicated that our expenses were out of line. Now, when I prepared the expenses for the inline space, I made sure that I rethought those expenses and just put the expenses that are just flowing into that inline retail space and not including the bank building. That would be a triple net lease. So I, took like a proportionate share of repair and maintenance expenses and proportionate share of insurance expenses, things like that. So I made sure that the expenses were not out of line.
So you're saying you excluded the cost of the bank building?
The operating cost, yes.
Yeah. I guess that it's not obvious from the calculations, but I understand what you're saying is that that's what you're testifying.
sorry, what, it sounds like one of the other board members had a question.
I was just going to say that I'm fine on what it is. I think we just get the numbers reconciled here off what was on the sheet versus on the one sheet versus what's on the other sheet. So I think we can work it out.
Yeah, and I apologize for the confusion there.
Okay. I think I've got it.
Me too.
Okay.
You're on vacation. Have you been on one of these calls with us before?
I haven't been on the calls. I've been in front of you in person.
Okay. So I just want you to understand that I'm a retired CPA. John, another board member, is a retired appraiser, and Lisa's a retired banker that has involved in many house and property loans.
Yeah, no. Thanks for that, and it's nice that
we're not novices to these.
I'm not speaking to farmers, so that's good. Which does happen on occasion.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've got it.
Okay, would you like me to conference Marcus in?
Why don't I give your main office a call when they're ready for the next one? If I need to, I can just dial the MARC to get over to Marcus.
Okay, and his last name's DuPont as well.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for your time. Stay safe and healthy.
Okay, thank you. Close the hearing.